This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Hit the donate button at discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essiff. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essiff. It's Palm Sunday, Monsignor Essiff. What's on your heart today?
Well, you know, it's Palm Sunday, and the church concentrates on the cross today. It's during this Mass, the gospel of this day on Palm Sunday, is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the eyes of the world, this brief interlude of Palm Sunday, the glorification of the Son of David, the glorification of the lineage of the kingship of Jesus Christ on earth, where his followers are taking palm. And I would like, if we could, during this reading of the Passion, which is presented according to Matthew, I would like you each not to be, during this week and during this time, not to be Peter and not to be whoever those characters are, or not the apostles. So many of us are reading this eyes through the view of some characters that you have in the past. No, no, no. Today, you are Jesus in the Passion. Each one of us is Jesus. In this reading, because of your baptism, because of your confirmation, because of the Eucharist, because of your state in life, either matrimony, ordination, priest, deacon, bishop, every one of us who read the Passion and who experience the life of Jesus as a Christian, that you have your Simon Peter in your life. You have your Judas. You have those who are going to deny you over and over again. That pain, you already have had that. If you can listen to the Passion as Jesus, because that's what you are, every single one of us who is a Christian has had the pain of being Jesus. Every one of us. Your suffering has been his suffering. But many times we don't recognize that the cross that we have carried is his. And we have tried to labor underneath that. And we have tried to do, because of our malformation. And this goes way, way back to the time we're little children. So it's going to take a great deal of effort today as I read this Passion. And it's given to us from St. Matthew's Gospel. And it's the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And if all of us, hopefully, can follow it, to the 14th verse, to the 27th chapter, and the 66th verse. And when you hear it, it maybe seems so lengthy, but it is actually the story of your life. Every baptized person has a Judas. You have had someone betray you, and someone whom you love and care for and trust very much. Jesus wasn't hurt by the pain of Judas's. What did he call him, even in the act of betrayal? Friend. How many times have you experienced in your life that a friend has betrayed you? Maybe you are the wife of a man who kissed you at the altar and swore to you that I will give my entire self to you, and then betrayed you. Your ex-husband is that person. And that's pain that many times people carry as wounds, and it bleeds and it bleeds, and you have resentments and bitternesses for the rest of your life because you are trying to forgive him the betrayal. He can be forgiven by Jesus only, whom you are. When you take that pain and give it to him, that betrayal is consumed in the fire of his divine love. It doesn't mean that you won't suffer. That pain is his, and he knows it. When you try to make a friend over and over again of this person, and he may be a working companion of yours, he may even be one of your children, over and over he denies you. Over, Jesus knows that pain because he suffered it in the passion. Peter, when he was washing Peter's feet at the Last Supper, he said to Peter, you know, Peter said, I'll come and die with you. I'm going to be by you. Don't you ever say that. I'm going to be there. Jesus said that to him to let him know that he knew. And today we're going to read it in the Passion as we all go over that each and every one of us has a high priest. And he's the one who's going to condemn us. The high priest is the Caiaphas in today's scripture, the Annas and the high priest. Each of us has this pain as Jesus, who is the only innocent one in the whole entire world, is you. Why are you innocent? Because you didn't sin? No. Why am I innocent? Because I didn't sin? No. Every time I go to Mass, as we have talked about over and over again, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers, sisters, that I have sinned. I sin. Every one of us sin. But we are Jesus because of our baptism. And he has taken on. When did he do that? When I was baptized. I was born in it. I was conceived in sin. Only because of Jesus, he took that sin on himself. And every one of us who hears this Passion, this is how he did it. He died for us. The cross is what he did, that God looked at each of us and he took the suffering and the death for us and forgave us at the moment we had the Holy Spirit come upon us. Back then, yes. And ever since then, the Father has been looking at us with infinite love. And here on the cross, he took all that suffering and pain on himself, offered it to the Father for the salvation of mankind. Now, as we begin the reading of the Passion, just I would like you to keep in mind that you, in this account, are Jesus. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want to prepare us for the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time has drawn near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said to him in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said it." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to him, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I'd like to remind every priest here that when you say these words at Mass, when you consecrate the bread, "This is my body, this is my blood," so one with him are you. Every bishop, every priest is one with him. So deeply are you united with him by your ordination. Each of us, and then when you eat his flesh and drink his blood, it is he in you which you were prepared to receive by your baptism, so that when that life of his is in you, then he feeds you in whole and entire. His flesh is in you. His blood is one with you. His soul and his divinity, which you have received and been prepared to receive because you are his body in this world. By your baptism, by your confirmation, by the Eucharist, and by the role that you have in the body, and if it's marriage, so be it. Then Jesus said to them, "This night, all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him in reply, "Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. See that his heart was hurt, because so was yours. When your friend, and that you've tried to make friends with over and over again, and maybe it's someone very close to you, maybe one of your own children, over and over again, maybe one of your associates at work, someone that you really, really admire and care for, they keep hurting you and hurting you. Who is your Simon Peter? Who is the one that keeps denying you over and over again? Don't try and forgive them with your own heart, because it's like a sliver underneath your skin. You wind up resenting them. Even though," Simon said, "I should have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples spoke likewise. And guess what? They all left him. And you will also, sometimes, in your life of Jesus, have been abandoned, and your friends just all left when you were in deep trouble, and you looked for them, and you found none of them around, because your cross and trial had come, and they avoided you. Then Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." When he returned to his disciples, and he found them asleep, he said to Peter, "So, you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but but the flesh is weak. And so is every human being. No matter how intimate those friendships are, when you go through this cross, you will find yourself alone with your Father. And this has happened. Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again, "My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, if you will be done, without drinking it, your will be done." See, the Father is asking each of us to carry the cross that he asks us to bear. And each of us will be faced with that specific and unique and irrepeatable cross, and that will be the death by which we each will die. Each of us has a different way of dying, and some of us have been asked to walk this road of the coronavirus right now. And there are thousands right now that are doing this. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour has come and is at hand, when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying, "The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him." Immediately he went over to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus answered him, "Friend, do what you have come for." How many of you, maybe in a divorce court, have looked at the man that you gave yourself to, and there he is with those cold eyes and that stare, and just with the Judas face? How many of you have been in partnership with someone at work, and they look at you and you just got fired, and here you are, and they look at you with that same Judas stare, and you in your heart know the stab of Judas. And many of us have never been able to get over that, but only until he in me, it is him who forgives. He wants to live in me. When did he start that life? At my baptism. Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand into his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said, put your sword back in its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. In other accounts, he actually heals the man in his ear. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then, how would the scripture be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Have you come against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, I sat teaching in the temple, and you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then he said to his disciples, then his disciples left him and fled. Two things here. How many times have you experienced when you looked around for your friends and they just weren't there? They disappeared. They were gone. You really needed their assistance and help. And how many times have you faced a crowd? You know, when you were a little child and you were sitting on the bus, and say you're a Negro, and they were making fun of you, and they were bullying you, and you were the only Negro in the crowd. Wow, that's Jesus in you. How many of us have seethed with that anger and never let it go? See, and when each of us, maybe a little Mexican, a child, and being spit on and rejected by other kids, or some bully is taunting you. Those who arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. How many of you have been hurt by your parish priest? Who is your high priest? I know a priest who, all of his accusations that were brought against him were false. And even though he proved it, the high priest, he wasn't able to offer Mass anymore. And he had his faculties taken from him. Even though he proved that he had been under false testimony. Though many false witnesses came forward, finally two came forward who stated, "This man said, I can destroy the temple of God and within 3 days rebuild it." The high priest rose and addressed him, Have you not answered? What are these many testifying against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, I order you to tell me, under oath, before the living God, whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him in reply, you have said it. You have said so. You know, the martyrs really experience this same test. When only Jesus can do that death march. But that rarity, that and is it rare in our day, or is that many, many times when are you really Jesus? Are you really? You're nuts. Who are you? And that I and Christ am one. And have you given evidence of that? And is your heart united with his? And so each of us during this time and during this period, many have had maybe the words that Christ and I are one, but are you really one with him? But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on a cloud of heaven. Then the high priest tore his garments and said, he has blasphemed. You see, each of us is a member of the body of Christ, a member of the church. We are one with Jesus, and our Father is God, who is Father. And by the power of the Spirit, each of us is being transformed day by day into unity with Jesus. By that power, we are being sanctified. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion? They said in reply, he deserves to die. Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying, prophesy for us, Christ, who is it that struck you? How many times have maybe a child in school has received a slap on his face of a nun? Have you had that? Yeah, I have. I know. So that when you look at her, and I remember in fourth grade, I was actually hit with a ruler across my legs for something I just didn't do. I wasn't able to forgive that nun until I realized that he was in me. It was only then that I could remember that. Now, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, you, too, were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it in front of everyone, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. As he went out of the gate, another girl saw him and said to him and to those who were around, this man was with Jesus, the Nazarene. Again, he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter, "Surely, you too are one of them. Even your speech gives you away." At that, he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the words of Jesus that he had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. They say this is after Peter was transformed by the Holy Spirit into Jesus, that he had rivulets in his face from tearing and crying. He cried and cried, "I denied him. I denied him," over and over again. And then he was able, because of Jesus in him. You see, on his own, Peter could not have done anything except done this. It was only when you and I are one with him that we can do this. We may have been Peter to someone else. We may have been Judas to someone else. We may have been the high priest to someone else. Yes, we are the betrayer. We are also the denier. We are also the high priest that's condemned him. But also, we are him. And that's the deeper truth about each of us as we read the Passion. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretting that he had done what he had done, he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? Look to it yourself." Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money. "It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury. It is the price of blood." After conspiring, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why this field, even till today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been written through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of the man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for a potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not know that how many things they are testifying against you?" But he did not answer him even a word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on that occasion of the feast, there was a feast. The governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one of the prisoners whom they wished, and at this they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Barabbas means son of God, son of the Father. Jesus was the true son of the Son of the Father, God. Barabbas. So when they assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one of these do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called the Christ?" For he knew that out of envy they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent a message, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man. I suffered much and a dream because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" They answered, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what am I to do with Jesus, to call the Christ?" They said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Let him be crucified." Have you ever been compared with someone else, and the other one was chosen instead of you? You know, and maybe you really knew that you were so much better than that other person. Think of Jesus sitting there in front of this crowd. And which would you rather? And here's a crowd. And they have persuaded this crowd to ask for this scumbag, Barabbas, who was stirring up the crowd and had been and really done all kinds of terrible things. And you all you had done was good for this people. You know, how many of us, and that's, if that's you, and you can't get over it, think of who you are. Jesus, who is the Son of God, is in you. He alone can do this. No matter how exalted a position you may have, and someone else was chosen. You know, when I see ball players being compared, they used to choose sides. How many times have you been passed over? How many times have you, in your ordinary lifetime, have been passed over? And don't they realize what a treasure you are? And don't they know who I am? And for us, each of us, who has maybe lost an election, maybe lost to be chosen, maybe has been passed over for a promotion. Think of how many there are right now, and maybe it's me. Maybe this is the one thing I haven't been able to get over. When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead. He took water, washing his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole people said to him, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." And how truly Jesus' blood is upon us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him of his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak around him, weaving a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head, and a reed in his hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." How many of us have been mocked? Who is the one that strips you? Who ridicules you? Who makes fun of you? So many of us have been ridiculed, have been mocked, have been spit upon. And how often we just can't get over it. When we have this experience, you know, if you have ever been bullied, if you have ever been stripped, and so many of us in our own families have been made fun of, "You fag, you idiot, you imbecile, you." How many have had this horrible stuff said to us? Maybe even by a brother or sister. Maybe by friends. The horrible thing that you have. And so the "Hail, King of the Jews" mockery. They spat on him and took a reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of his cloak and dressed him in his own clothing and led him out to be crucified. As they were going out, they met the Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. Who is your Simon of Cyrene as you journey along the road of your cross? Who is that person in your life that assists you? Who is the one that helps you carry your cross? Maybe a coach when your father had let you down. Maybe a teacher. Maybe someone in your life when your mother was so hurtful to you. So that each one of us, think of it. Who is your Simon of Cyrene? Who is the one that sees you suffering, rejected and hurt in your own families, on an everyday level, in your neighborhood, at work? Who is the one who is your Veronica, who has compassion on you? who helps you to be soothed in the midst of your journey. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. And when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now in if he wants him." You know, many a time when you say that you're a Christian, and how many people taunt you for your faith? "Oh, so you really believe? So you really want to stand out with others at work? And you really don't want to use the language that they use? Oh, yeah, you're better than us. You're not like the rest of us." And so even if you try, and when you really begin to live a life that's different than the crowd, he said, "I am the Son of God." The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept mocking him. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until there was 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" I think almost everyone that I know, including myself, have those moments. My God, that you feel forsaken. And Jesus also, in me and in you, cries out to the only one who really hears. And then you die. You really die. You see, you were baptized into his suffering. You were baptized into his death. And because of Easter, you were baptized into his resurrection. There is no Easter. There isn't. And we have that celebration. And there is an Easter. But everyone requires a death. And this is it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders heard this. This one calling for Elijah immediately they didn't hear what he said. One of them ran and got a sponge. He soaked it on some wine and on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah is coming to save him." But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up the spirit. He died. He died. When have you died? If you are Jesus today, when was that time in your life that you've said, "It's finished. I can't. I can't go on." Many of us are finished. I remember once I was in South America. I had had a plane crash. There was an earthquake. I was sick with hepatitis. And I was just finished. I remember just saying, I called my superior, and I just wasn't able to carry on anymore. And they said, "Well, you can leave. And then don't worry about a replacement. Just go home. Because if you don't, you're going to die." My time was almost over. So I went down to the airport. And I just was there. And a little boy followed me down. I remember this so well. And he saw me leaving. And he saw me. He said, "You're leaving, aren't you, Padre Juan?" And I said, "Yes, I'm leaving." And he said, "And you're not coming back, are you?" And I said, "No, no, I couldn't lie to him." And then he screamed and ran away. And he said to me, as he ran, "I knew you never loved us anyway." And I died. I died. You see, death comes in many ways to all of us. We suffer, we die. And I had a serious case of hepatitis. I didn't recover from it for almost a year. But as we go through our lives, we suffer. We die. When did you die? All of us die. Maybe you died when you lost your job. Maybe you died in the midst of an alcoholic binge. Maybe you died when you woke up and you were still awake. And you sank far enough after a suicide attempt. When did you die? And each of us suffers and dies. And we gave up the spirit.
That was so powerful, Monsignor. What would you have your people do today after hearing this and reflecting on this? Where would you want them to rest?
I believe each of us should personally take a reading of the Passion of Matthew. It's there, and it's to be prayed. You know, we hold our palm, and those of you who get a piece of palm today, and you stand at the reading of the Passion, and you hear those people reciting it there, but contemplate it. Spend an hour today with this text and the Passion of our Lord in Matthew 26 to Matthew 27, Matthew 26 to 14, to 27:66, and that he dies. He dies. And there, at the foot of the cross, there, in reading the Passion, just with your palm in your hand, just spend an hour. I would really think that this Palm Sunday could be a tremendous time. I had talked about this time with regard to the time we have during this time of the coronavirus. We have time, and we have time to reflect on our identity. Who am I? Am I really Jesus? Is this kook saying this? Or am I really, as a Christian, Christ in the world today? Did I really begin this life? And where were those events in my life as a child when I was Jesus? Where were those events? And because it is true that you have your Simon of Cyrene, you have your Simon Peters, you have your Judases, you have your high priest. They're very different for each one of us, but you are Jesus. And that is true. And so you just don't have a palm which you hold. Your hand is his. It's that one that was crucified with him over and over and over again in events that have taken place in your life and in mine. And we die. And so at this particular time of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a character out there who died in the year 33. It's me. I suffer. I die and I rise. And I was baptized into this Paschal mystery, which now we're celebrating today on the Feast of Palm Sunday. Not out there, but in here.
Monsignor, what would you have that person who has reflected so deeply with you on this particular passage of Scripture, this event in our Lord's life and in our lives, the events of our lives? What would you say to that person who has been deeply affected? They're now in their home, they're listening, and they're crying, they're weeping, they're struggling with, you know, they're going through those memories and things are coming up that they hadn't, you know, thought about, they pushed aside. You know those moments in a retreat when your retreatant comes to you and they're just like pouring their the tears won't stop, or the anger won't cease. What would you say to them as a director?
I would say, now this is really the most important moment when Jesus, what did it bring him to with a passion? His Abba. He no longer could distract himself with the 12. Not even his mother was there, who was there right on the cross, right next to him. And behold, your son. He diverted her attention to this apostle of his. Behold your mother. So then his last possession, his mother, who was very much in love with him, is there with him. And this unshaven youth by her side, this is your son. So then, and all Scripture says, and that's more in the Gospel of John, that he says to his mother, behold your mother. That's what I usually pray, that see the suffering that you have through the eyes of Mary. You know, when you died on that cross today, when you were then taken down from the cross and laid in the arms of Mary, one of the famous statues that was done by Michelangelo was the Pietà. And that is where Jesus is in the arms of his mother, and he's dead. He's dead. And you, when you die, are in Mary's arms. And I would think that one of the reflections you can have as you see him on the cross is also see him in her lap. That you are dead. She knew that he said, I will suffer, I will die. And many of us have, we stopped there, but he didn't, nor did she. I will rise on the third day. She believed that. Even when she anointed him and wrapped him in those cloths of burial, she knew she was going to take them off him and he was going to rise on Easter. But as you are dead, and today you die, you must die with him. Unless you die, you cannot arise. We suffer, we die, and we rise. So that I would ask you to think of her as the only one who is really living. If since you're dead, and the only one who can help you during this time of death on Good Friday, think of yourself in her arms after you die.
And would you say, Monsignor, it should be important that they should just rest there for a while? It won't be one day that you sort through this out. Trust that in this grace that comes with Holy Week, this is going to be a journey. So try not to push it. Try not to just rest there and trust that God is leading you someplace during this week. So just relax or rest. Final thought, Monsignor?
God, our Father, I hold up to you each and every person in the entire world, united with the body of Christ, each and every one of us, on this Palm Sunday, that in this time of grace, that you envelop the entire world with your Spirit, and you bring them to a contemplation of the cross, the suffering and the death of Jesus on the cross, and that we simply are there. And let him who is in us, for every Christian, die, so that we can be prepared for eternal life with him. I ask this in the name of the Father, who sees you as his child, in the name of the Son, who is united to you, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, who envelops this entire world on this Palm Sunday.
Amen. On our way to Holy Week.
Yes. Amen. God bless.
You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essif, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.